Hey everyone, this is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University. Welcome to Faith on Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti and Pastor Kyle Horner. It is Championship Sunday this weekend in the NFL. But even if you don't have a team in the race, we're all champions in Christ. Right? We're all champions
in Christ. That's a nice tie-in right there, bro.
That's the best way to look at it. Yeah, I got nobody to root for. Now you're a champion anyway. I used to sign my the Birds of Prey book. I would be like, Jesus is the real MVP.
That's right. Right. So true, bro. Right. So true.
Jesus is the real MVP. You're looking for an MVP here. You're looking for an MVP. You're looking for a savior somewhere. Jesus is that MVP. He's the most valuable player. Our guest this week is Philadelphia Eagles tight end Josh Perkins. Josh is one of the players on the team that they had to rely on down the stretch. And we talked about this a little bit last week, but as one player after another got hurt, he was called up. He had been cut from the team in training camp. It was the third time in his career that he was released, and he got signed to the practice squad the next day and finally got his opportunity to be on the active roster again for the final month. Then in that last game of the regular season at MetLife Stadium in New York, well, East Rutherford, New Jersey. I always call it Nick. It's not New York. It's North Jersey.
They can have it, though.
I just remember.
We will annex it to New York.
Yeah,
New Jersey
will
annex it to New York.
I'm just glad I don't have to go through the tunnel to get to that stadium.
Yeah. I know, that is true.
That was just a little bit off. And I said this the other day. I had a rush to that game. I got off the air at 1 in Philadelphia in City Avenue, and I had to get to a 4:40 game, and it kept telling me 90 minutes until I actually got to about 6 miles away, and then it took about like another 90 minutes.
Absolutely.
But I got to give the security folks at the MetLife Stadium a shout out, because every single person I encountered on my way in was very helpful. Mm-hmm. There was one guy I just flashed at, like the media parking pass to him, and he's like, "You don't want to go that way. You're supposed to go that way, but if you go that way, it's going to take you, look at all those cars, another 40 minutes to get there. Cut this," and he showed me how to cut through an area. Someone else, I was like, "Wow, everybody gives these people a bad rap."
I know,
in
it's
New
true.
York, right?
Oh,
it's
honey,
true.
That's
so
just
helpful,
God's favor,
man.
On your
yeah,
life.
That is,
I was like,
is.
"Thank you, Lord," because I got there with 40 minutes to spare.
Wow,
I was good to go. But
God's favor right there.
In that game, the Eagles were so decimated by injury. They didn't even have Zach Ertz, and Josh is a tight end who had to step up along with Dallas Goedert. They had five guys: Josh Perkins, Boston Scott, Greg Ward, Deontay Burnett, and Rob Davis. I went back and looked it up. Those five guys they had to count on to win a must-win elimination game have been cut 18 times in their career.
Wow.
18 times they've been told, "You're not good enough to make this team."
Wow.
They've been brought back to practice squad. They've been cut from the practice squad. Yeah. They've been put on the active roster. They've been cut from the active roster. So all of this stuff happens. And then Josh is out there in that game. And I forget at what point in the game it was, but there's a route that he runs. Carson Wentz throws him a beautiful 24-yard touchdown pass where it was only Josh or Greg Ward were the guys who could they were the only route runners in that one, and he was covered, and Carson kept rolling to his right, and
they
Josh
protected and he was
never
the backside.
Gave up.
It was
he
the
never
backside
gave
route.
Up
yeah.
and lofted it perfectly, beautifully. Yep. It was nice to see Josh make that catch, and I had him out to my show, my sports show at Center Square Tavern in December. We talked about football and faith right there in that restaurant, so you're going to hear some of that interview coming up. Josh, I don't know if you had an opportunity to meet him.
I've passed him in the hall. Okay. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to say hi.
He was wearing, after that game against the Giants, I got the picture too because I was interviewing him. He had like a little cross earring. Uh-huh. I was like loving it.
Cool, that's awesome.
Like, there you go. But he said his go-to Bible verse is one that I consider like one of my all-time favorites, Proverbs 3:5-6, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight." I absolutely love that verse so much so I once went to one of those shops in the mall, bought a baseball cap, and had it a white cap. I can't find it though. I was going to get it out for the show, and it said Proverbs. I wrote, had him like, you know how
stitched or whoever. Yeah.
I've never seen
years ago.
That's kind of cool.
Proverbs 3:5-6
before my time, or
before my time.
Now you know, you have a lot of tattoos, so you could have got stitched it on the body. I'm just saying.
She told me no more. Yeah, I want a few more. Like I want to. You know, I want to add a couple verses.
No,
I want to cut.
We're good.
All right, now. But
we said nope. All right, done.
I absolutely love that verse.
No, I'm joking.
Yeah, it's a great verse. Sure. Hey, but put it. It's one of those Hall of Fame verses, isn't it? That you talk about. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's a really good
absolutely
verse.
All the time. It really is. And but it's. I think when you say put your full trust in the Lord is a whole lot easier to say than actually do. Like, how do you put that into practice? Like, how do I not lean on? It says don't lean. You know, he's saying in here, do not lean on your own understanding. And this is King Solomon back 1,000 years before Jesus, right?
Correct.
Do not lean on your own understanding, on your own ideas. We always want to go to what we want, but not what God wants for us. And God knows. If we can get this through our head, and I struggle with it all the time, God knows what's better for me than what I know is better for me.
Right.
And I still, to this like minute, I will be like, no, this is what I want, God.
Yes.
I want, this is better for me. I'm not waiting. I'm not trusting. I'm not completely. But he's talking about every choice we make, every decision we make. And we can't just cherry pick when we want to follow God's instructions, because like we cherry pick Bible verses.
Correct.
You mentioned last week.
Yep.
We cherry pick. Oh, I want to follow God's word here.
Right.
But here I don't want to.
Correct.
But here in it, like Solomon's warning us not to think that we're too smart.
Absolutely.
And
the wisest man ever to live is warning us not to.
Don't think you're too smart.
Yeah.
And don't ever think that we're smarter than the Lord. So if we trust in him fully and bring everything to him, include him in every area, every aspect of our life, not just some areas. Like, don't shut the door on the Lord. Like, don't not invite him into every aspect of your life, or leave him at church. I used to do this. I used to leave him at church on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
I would go to church and left. I worshiped and left him at church on Sunday rather than inviting him into my life and inviting him into my heart. And the danger in that was by leaving God at church on Sunday, I did my thing 6 days a week. I lived my life. Sunday after church, I lived my life. Yep. I relied on what I wanted. I relied on my own understanding. And on Sunday, I went, I checked the boxes. I went to church. I listened to, a message, and I went off.
That's the easy
way
to do it.
Right? That is the easy way. But that's what Solomon was telling us not to do. Like, include God in every area of your life. So when I finally invited him into my heart, when I finally understood the gift of grace and how salvation really is such an incredible blessing, an incredible gift, and now I have God, I have the Lord, I have Christ with me everywhere I go, man, it's different. So I lean on the Bible and his word instead of my own thoughts and my own biases and my own selfish desires, and then I allow him to direct my path and show me the way and lead me in the right direction. But it's not, I don't have it figured out. I certainly don't have it figured out.
Well, I think what you just said, Rob, is you described is kind of life insurance or insurance type of mentality, right? So we buy insurance and we pay it on a monthly basis in hope that we never have to use it. That's what going to church on a Sunday morning is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just getting some insurance. I'm hoping that I don't ever have to, it's there in case I need it, but it's good. You know, I love this verse, but again, it's so often, I think, taken out of context, because the context of this starts there in verse 1 where he's saying, no, you need to, wisdom comes from God, comes from the fear of the Lord, understanding he is powerful and awful, and we have to have an awe of him, and we have to put it in our heart. It literally needs to come into our heart so that it then determines how we live our life. Because I think there's a difference between, blind trust and established trust. Yeah. Blind trust is a rock climber who goes to a Home Depot and just picks out any rope. Oh, I like this rope. It's pretty. Or I like that kind of the braiding or whatever. He never looks at whether it can hold his weight or not.
Right.
And I'm just going to trust that it'll hold me. I'm just going to trust that it'll hold me. And then when it doesn't, he's upset that his life fell, right? Established faith is being able to go and pick out look at the rope. What does the manufacturer say the weight, the tension weight is, and right. what can it hold, and how sturdy is it, and what is it made of? What does the manufacturer tell you it can support? Yeah. Now, trusting is, established trust is saying, I'm going to trust in the word and the workmanship of the manufacturer.
Right.
That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is being able to say, so we're going through life and say, I just trust God. Yeah, but are you actually, have you looked at his word?
Right.
Are you actually following the word? Is the word in your heart? Is that actually how we're establishing our life? I'm just trusting God. No, you're not. That's blind trust. It's taking, right? And hoping that the rope doesn't break. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not getting on the rope with that guy.
Right.
I'm going to rock climbing with somebody, I'm going to trust my life to somebody. No, I'm going to make sure they're going to, hey, has the manufacturer right. manufactured this rope to carry my 230 pounds? Does it have the tension weight? Does it, is it easily cut against yeah. a sharp object, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to make sure my life is established in that. And then I still have to trust the manufacturer's word, and I still have to trust the manufacturer's
yeah.
workmanship.
Yeah.
That's what Solomon's talking about here. He's not just saying, blindly trust God. Go out and do whatever you want to do. Mm. Go out, even say that you're a Christian. Go out and do church occasionally and then live your life trying to be good. He said, look, the context of this is putting the word of God in your life, building an understanding from the word of God, looking at the manufacturers, right,
yeah.
What he says,
right.
and then trust that that word is able to be carried out.
I totally understand that. And faith is the hardest thing to do. It's I fall into that too. I feel like, oh, I have faith. Everything's going to work out. Everything is great, which is great. That's awesome. But at the same time, faith is practice as well.
Yes.
You have to practice your faith. So I have to read the word of God. I have to get it into my heart, and I have to actually go out there and practice that faith. And if I don't ever practice it, I don't think I'll ever get it.
Yes.
Because it's never going to really just come to me. It's always going to be, it takes action. So you have to do the right thing. Read the manual, as yes. you're saying. Read the Bible, and then do what the Bible's saying with faith, and not with just my own understanding. Because my own understanding, there's a lot of things in the Bible that I don't understand, and there's a lot of things that the Bible's saying to do that actually is not really completely comprehensible, because it takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of, I'm relying on you, Jesus, to help me with this, but I don't really know how to do it, and I don't yeah. know if I even trust myself to do it. There's a lot of things I want to do every day that I'm like, no, I don't think I can do this.
Yeah,
but it takes active faith. And there's a lot of people that walk around in life, and I'm one of them, that my faith is sometimes very dormant. And I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I have faith. This is great.
Yes, yes.
Well, I don't think I can do anything. This is awesome. So I'm just going to stay home today. Or like recently, I was just sharing with you guys, like with the whole fasting and everything. It takes active faith to even like think that you can do something like that. I mean, it's yes. kind of silly to say, but I'm one of those people that fasting is not easy for me. I've never fasted my entire life.
I'm a foodie.
I feel like I'm a foodie, and I.
Amen.
Such a shame to say
we
that.
Both
that
are foodie.
I love
never,
food.
I've never fasted my entire life. This is pretty sad to admit. But God has been speaking to me to do that, to take that act of faith, to just say, I'm going to give you supernatural strength to do this.
Yes.
Even though you're cooking great meals for everybody in your family, but you can have it, and it's not about food.
Thank you for yeah. not putting me and Alexia on that fast.
You're very welcome.
The kids appreciate that.
Oh, and they're asking for, let me tell you, they've been asking for some really good meals.
Yeah, you know, favorites.
Like, isn't that the way that it works, though? When you're, I know. Uh-huh.
It's so mean.
Yeah.
I'm like, people, like, realize what I'm trying to do here. You know, take a step of faith with me. But, and it's okay. Everybody walks their own walk. But for me, it took some serious active faith to just be like, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to somehow do this. And it's funny how every single day that I want to fail, God puts in my path someone, or like you, Pastor Kyle, the on Sundays or things like that, to just say, hey, don't give up today. Just use that active faith to do something, to keep going, to get to reach that other, the next level, the yes. next height in your walk. So yeah, it takes an actual commitment and an active faith to do something that you're not willing to do because you thought you can't do it.
Yes.
It's hard. It's really hard.
But so, I mean, Hebrews 11, there's this entire book in the Bible. By faith, Abraham,
awesome.
By faith, Noah, by faith, yeah. David, by faith, by faith, by faith. It's not an esoteric concept. And I love what you just said. You know, Remy, the truth is we faith and trust sometimes get thrown into this philosophical
yeah.
approach to life. I'm just going to have faith. I'm just going to trust. No, 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 no.
Do it.
By faith. Faith is knowing what God said, applying it to your life and then trusting that he can make the difference in it.
Right.
Not trusting that I have to do it. It's what does God say about, many of us coming into 2020, I'm sure a lot of our listeners, one of the resolutions, I want to get out of debt, right? Mm-hmm. I want to get out of debt. I want to get out of debt. Well, the Bible actually talks a lot about how to handle money correctly. Yeah. Not just because when we start talking about it, people are like, oh no, you're just talking about tithing. No. The Bible actually talks about how to spend money well, how to spend, poor spending, all those kind of things, how to develop a lifestyle that's faith. Faith has been able to say, you know what does God's word say about this topic that I've been struggling with in my life? All right. Yes. And then let me apply those things. Mm-hmm. And even if I don't fully understand how that's going to work, I'm going to trust that he will make it work.
Yeah.
And those things, when we just say, I'm just going to trust God with my finances. I'm just going to have faith over, you know, this area of my life. But have you put his word into
that's
action?
That's dangerous, isn't it? I feel
it's not
like
faith. It's not faith. It's a dream. The difference between faith and a dream is a dream hopes to, faith actually, faith plans to with God's word. It's just those two, you know, that's the difference.
Nothing changes. Like you have to change. Something has to change
gotta,
for something to
you
change.
You got
to
get
like
in alignment with God's will.
Yeah.
I will say this. If you're sitting back and just saying like, you know, I'm going to trust God to work out. Suppose you have an illness.
Yes.
I'm going to trust God. Are you going to go see a doctor?
Right, correct.
Are you going to go seek medicine?
Correct.
God could be working through those miracle pills that you're taking or absolutely, whatever prescription that you're taking. So I think a lot of people, as you mentioned, New Year's resolution, maybe to get in the word more, to understand the word. And you said how so it's difficult to always understand the Bible. I think it's really important to get yourself a Bible you can understand, a study guide, that kind of Bible. If you're going to, and a lot of people will say this in the beginning of the year, and this is still, we're in January here, and people are going to say, oh, I want to read the Bible cover to cover. Well, be realistic. I don't know. I mean, are you going to
start? No. Now.
I know, but are you going to?
That's a goal. I mean, if that's a goal,
that's
great. Correct.
I've read it.
But I'm with you, Rob.
But
how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right?
So you got to read a little, read and understand. Because I can read the Bible cover to cover.
Correct.
But not really focus on the word.
Correct.
Not really dwell on what is he saying to me right here. So I'd rather take like a reading plan. For example, right?
Yeah, I agree.
A reading plan is a great thing.
There are Bible apps that have reading plans, in tons Bibles of great Bible, that have Bible, reading plans, things like that, as opposed to I'm going to just cover to cover, read the Bible so I can get through this Bible.
I will tell you, and people are going to say I'm saying this because I'm a pastor. I'm not. I started doing this before I was a pastor, but I would really, if you would just do this, if you would take the message that your pastor preached on Sunday, if you would take the context of that Bible, those Bible verses, and for a week, start to actually meditate on those, tear those things apart. God, what are you trying to say? Because God is actually trying to say something to his body in those things, which includes you. So if you would just do that, do you know how much you would grow in a year? Just by taking 52 messages and starting to unpack those things in your life. And it's not just, it's not just knowledge that I've read through the Bible, because I love Bible reading plans. And Remy, I love what you just said. You know, I've read through the Bible in a year multiple times, right? Yeah. But sometimes in the midst of that, you're just like, all right, I got to read seven right. chapters today of like Deuteronomy or, you know, Leviticus. You just, you literally read through because you're reading through.
I don't like that part.
Right? No, I mean, we are reading through. And there's nothing wrong with that. I wanted to make sure there's some benefit to that. But the big benefit, the Bible talks on multiple occasions. Meditate on the word day and night. That word meditate in the Hebrew actually means to vocally repeat the words that you have just read. So to vocally go back and repeat them over and ask the Holy Spirit, where am I short in my life here? How can this apply to my life here? What does this look like in my life here? If we would just do that, Rob, I'm not saying that's the only thing, but I would say if we would just do that, you got a 52-week reading plan right there.
I love it because I love that so much, because sometimes, which is really interesting how God works, if you just commit to that idea I'm reading the Bible from this to this or whatever, it's not even about what you're reading sometimes. Sometimes you'll be reading something and the Holy Spirit speaks something
100%.
Completely different.
Just jumps out.
At you 100%, with something else and just strikes your heart and you're like, whoa, that wasn't even in this chapter. What's up? That's like from somewhere else. but it's actually, it's becoming, it's from your commitment. You made this commitment to sit with him, and he's going, oh, he has my full attention. Therefore, I'm going to strike his heart with something that I've been trying to speak to this person for so long, and he wouldn't give me a chance because he wouldn't sit with me.
Yes.
And sometimes I'm like, I mean, I'm reading the Bible from the beginning now, so I'm still in Genesis, and God help me, the whole, like, you know, who's, you know, parents for who and who's son of who. Uh-huh. And I'm just reading this, I'm going, oh, Lord Jesus, help me. This is too much. Yep. I mean, I'll be honest here. It is difficult, yeah. man, like, to read all these names. And I'm just like, what is up? And then next thing you know, I'm reminded of something that I have to kind of commit to God. Or something that I have to pray about, and I would stop, and I always have my journal, and I always have my notebook, and I write it down, and then after I'm done with the reading, I go back and revisit whatever that is that God is asking me to do, and pray about it again.
He has your attention.
He has my attention. Yeah. So it all, it's not about reading who's son of who, and it's not really about that, but it's about the commitment that you made to sit with him. Because all he wants the whole day is to sit with us.
Be still, no.
Be still.
Yeah.
Be still, meaning to just sit still and listen to what he has to say. The Bible's been written, the Bible's been read 1,000 times.
Yep.
But then have you heard something fresh today? Have you heard a new word today? That's really all there is.
Perspective,
because you cannot build on other people's salvations. You have to build on your own salvation. And that means you sit with him and he talks to you.
Yeah.
And that's all there is to that, really. Yeah,
you know, it's so funny that you're saying about the genealogies, because
it's they're, too hard.
Yeah, it's so hard sometimes, right? And you're just like, all right, I know I got to get through it.
It just didn't happen this morning.
No, I get it, 100%. I get it.
Can't.
You know what's funny to me, though,
I saw it right there on the kitchen table.
Yeah. I was just like,
I just pushed it aside.
What's funny for me, though, is that it actually teaches a real biblical principle, because there are times if you read the genealogies that much later on in different books down the road, even in the, from the Old Testament, New Testament,
you will
catch that name again. Right? In a different story.
Right,
and you go, oh, that and a light comes on. Exactly right. And what it does is it ties something back together for you you never would have seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And why I think that's important, why I'm saying that, is because that's absolutely what happens with God in our life.
Yeah.
There are things that he deposits in us today that we don't fully understand, that we don't even get, that it's just that, like, we're kind of breezing by.
Yeah.
But then 10 more chapters later in our life, 3 more books later in our life,
like,
right? We go,
oh,
I didn't even, now I understand.
That's right.
That connection that I never would have seen before. Yeah. And that's what's important, and right now, I think, about those moments.
It's so true, and it sparks some different level of your relationship, because it goes like, oh, that was so neat. Like, you can never get that from listening to a sermon or even talking to a friend. You can only get that all cool feeling from that level of connection.
Actually reading the Bible.
You know? It's a connecting with your husband, your wife. It's like, you will never get a connection like that unless you spend that time with your husband, your wife. It's just that the bridegroom can connection. It's just not going to happen any other way.
We ate a meal last night with some friends, and we had a great conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, great conversation, right? The four of us were there. We were having a great conversation. But if that's all that I ever knew about my wife was the conversation I had when we were together with
in
other
public.
People in public, everything she said was true. And everything she said revealed truth about herself and our marriage, which is great.
Right.
But that's all I ever knew about her. How shallow would my marriage be? It's the same way with Jesus. If all we ever know about Jesus is the time that he speaks
to,
when
to
he's having
people.
A meal, exactly right, in the midst of a congregation.
Yes.
No, those things are important. It's true. It's helpful. God's guiding us in those moments.
Mm-hmm.
But there's pillow talk with Jesus.
Yes.
There's pillow talk with Jesus. That he wants to do through his word, through his spirit, that we miss out on. I think, Rob, when we talked about that first type of lifestyle, we're just kind of showing up at church and, hey, here I am. And then, by the way, the pressure is all on the pastor and the team then. Move me, teach me, shape me, help me. It's such an entitlement mentality. We'll never bring anything into this moment because, and then as well, church has changed because it doesn't move me the way it used to. But church was never
meant
to.
I didn't learn anything from it. Like,
I don't like that. That worship's not real. We've heard this before. You know, I didn't really like that worship. Well, it's good because that worship wasn't for you.
That's right.
That worship was for him, by the way. But in a bigger picture, the reality is, look, I have been in multiple church services all over the world. Times that I've spoken the language and times I have not.
Yeah.
Some of the best services I've ever been in have been in times I didn't, I was in the middle of Kenya in a, in a group of 200 Maasai men and women worshiping God. It was under a tree, surrounded by nothing but bushes, no instruments. We were there for like 4 hours. I didn't understand a word, and it was one of the most powerful worship experiences I've ever had in my life. Unbelievably true, right? Because it's...
It's what
you bring to that moment. My job wasn't to sit back and just, hey, move me. My job was to actually come and bring.
Right.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Yeah. Enter his courts with praise. That's what we do.
I want to connect because, as you mentioned, both of you, how like you're connecting, you hear something here, you read something in the genealogy or somewhere else in the Old Testament, and then it comes up again later on in different books. Well, we started off talking about Proverbs 3, 5, 6 and what Solomon's saying there and seeking God's will in all that we do and being trusting fully in him. Jesus emphasizes this 1,000 years later in Matthew 6, 33, where he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be given to you as well. Here's a term in football that we hear all the time, especially when a season ends. We'll talk to the coach, we'll talk to front office, and sometimes during the bye week this happens. They'll often say, we have to self-scout.
Yes.
We have to figure out what we're doing wrong and areas that they can improve and how they can get better. And in our lives, we always need to self-scout.
Correct.
But not just professionally, not just in relationships, spiritually.
Yes.
Like self-scouting spiritually, I feel is so crucial and so important to like examine our values, our priorities, and figure out where are we not including God? Mm. Where are we keeping him on the outside? Like how are we not following his word? Where are we not seeking his counsel? And those are the areas where when we shut him out, where we don't want him messing with us because like, man, I like my way better sometimes. I've said it, and sometimes I like my way better. You know, that's going to cause me the most grief, though.
Of course.
The most grief in my life or the most suffering or the biggest troubles is when I wanted to do it my way and not his way. So if we make him part of everything, if we trust and fully surrender all to him and let him lead and pray on it and think on it and meditate on it and seek the guidance and seek the counsel – as I'm saying this, like I got to do a better job self-scouting.
Yeah. Remy, you're really good, you know, at this. I think you're really good at taking time to reflect and really start to process what he's saying in the midst of all of it. You know, maybe you can help some of our listeners by talking a little bit about that.
I love self-reflecting. I sometimes take it to an extreme. I'm kind of annoying. I dissect everything and I look at everything from a perspective of what would Jesus do and what and why is he doing it and what is happening and why and all that. So I write it down and I try to just say, hey, Jesus, what's up? What's going on? Mm. And I talk to him as my best friend. I don't talk to him as this giant God on top of me saying like, do. It's more like, hey, Jesus, please help me with this.
Yeah.
I don't understand why this happened. I don't understand what's going on. But this right here is annoying to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
This right here hurt me so much. This right here, I do not understand. So when I write it down, I just pray over it. And I just try to go to Bible verses or maybe even sermons that I heard before about something similar to it. Or I try to go to the Bible and just say, okay, how does this relate to what I was reading before, what I've heard before? How does this, and why did this come to me? Because sometimes I struggle with that. Sometimes I say like to myself, did I bring this on myself? Like, did I cause this? Did I actually manifest this? Or what happened to cause this? Because sometimes I blame myself a lot for things. And I fall in that trap of like, maybe I did something wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe I brought this upon myself. Maybe. But at this, but end of the day, you just write it down, you pray about it, and you reflect on it. And you just, I actually physically just lay in bed sometimes and just close my eyes and just try to relax my body completely and just try to listen to what the Holy Spirit's trying to say. And that's actually cool. It's part of meditating.
It is.
You just have to put go to YouTube and put Christian meditating music on, and there's plenty of those on YouTube. And just put it on, lay in bed with all like everything, just lay down, you know, do not put your arms up.
Dude,
or
if I lay down with meditation music on, I'm out in like 5 minutes.
Well, yeah, no,
I got to do it differently,
try.
But I hear you. Find the place that works for you.
Yeah, I mean, you can sit up,
but then find the place that works for you.
Sometimes sitting up, it's painful for my back. So I just like to lay down. So I lay down.
Yeah, I'm with Kyle. I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm laying down.
You guys, meditating is so cool.
No. I love to meditate. I just do it. I do it. I can't. You have to find a place and a position that works for you. So like for Danielle is, she loves the beach. She's a beach girl. Like she
gets,
and I know you are, right? That she gets refreshed down there.
Yeah.
And so she can sit on the beach and be refreshed for hours.
Yeah.
I'm 5 minutes on the beach and the sand's bothering me and the sun's bothering me. I'm like, I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. It's not that I can't, like when I work on the boardwalk, I value the ocean. I see God's beauty in it. That would not work for me for God to speak. There are places that work for me, though. And that's why you have to find
your spot.
Find your spot.
Yeah,
and I think that's where, you know, I want our audience here. You got to find your spot. But what you're saying, Remy, is right. How do we stop? And in the midst of that, you know, David says, he comes to this realization, God, create me a clean heart. I recognize some things in me aren't right. I think that I know for myself, because I struggle with perfectionism and I struggle with value. And Remy, you said it so often. I think, you know, sometimes when I'm in a situation, is this my fault? Or, you know, and Danielle always encourages me especially as being a pastor, if you take too much blame when things are going bad, you'll take too much credit when things are going right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the balance of all this. Yeah. But I think in it, I have to step back and say, I have to be willing to look at myself and the good and the bad, not allow it to either rob me of my insecurity or boost my pride and my ego. Right. And sometimes, Rob, if I'm honest, I don't always like to self-reflect because it's a threat to my ego. It really is a threat to how I'll see myself. And I would rather just sometimes see myself for who I think I am and who I think who I would like people to think
I'm
am.
Right there with you.
I'm just being honest.
I don't like it because I don't want to point out my flaws to myself.
Correct. That's what
I'm saying. They're there.
Right. I know
so
they're there.
And I know I need to correct them at some point.
Correct.
And I know I need to get better in this area or do that. But I want to do it tomorrow. I don't want to do it now. I want to do it next week. I don't want to do it in 3 days.
But this is the thing. I used to be like that. This did not come natural to me.
No, I hear you.
I give you credit for that.
Yeah, I had to train myself. It's been a couple of years now that I've been doing this. Like every time I fall into that trap, I just go to my zone. The only time I can do this is at night when my kids are sleeping. So that's why I do it in bed.
Right, sure. That makes sense.
Like sometimes when they're at school, like I sit down on the floor. I sometimes you have to be grounded. That's what it is. You just have to be grounded. Ground yourself. Be like, I am grounded
right
good.
Now. That's good. That's
it's actually
good.
True.
Yeah,
that's
very
good. You
have
to be grounded. So ground yourself somewhere where there's no distractions, no phone, no computers, no nothing. Just sit down on the ground, or on a couch or whatever. But like somewhere, on the ground is better. Sit on the ground and ground yourself and say, I'm not moving from here till I hear something from the Holy Spirit.
That's good.
So give yourself like an hour or two or something and just sit there. It's so difficult. Okay, it's not easy. It's not easy, but just sit there and be grounded and do not move. And every time your thoughts run, bring them back. Every time your thoughts run, bring them back and just keep breathing and keep listening. Keep
that's
breathing
the danger
and keep listening.
Of the Bible app. It's because you're on your phone and you're reading
the
Bible.
No,
oh, yeah, and you get a text.
That's why the actual book, the Bible itself.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's so weird. Do you know where the Lord speaks to me a lot, in the shower.
That is so true.
I don't know what it is, but there's something about the water. There's something about you know, I put worship on when I go into the shower. There's just something about that environment at times, and so it's
Do you know why? Because there's no distraction.
There's no distraction.
Right. So it's really all about that.
Same sometimes for me. When I'm driving a long way. For me, you know, we used to live near one of our campuses, just a few minutes away from it. Yeah. And then we moved probably about 30 minutes away where we all kind of live.
Yeah.
And everyone was going to say, I can't believe you're moving. Why would you move further away? Mm-hmm. But I found my spirit is so much better.
Yes.
because I, the 30 minutes or 40 minutes or sometimes hour, when yeah, we, you know, it depends traffic. What time you leave, right? But I've unwound. I've listened to worship. I keep a notebook with me all the time in the car because God's just downloads stuff in those moments. Yeah. And it actually helps me, Rob, because sometimes in that environment of where I want to go faster. Yeah. I want that guy to get out of my way. I want to. Yes. I have to find myself actually submitting to the Lord more than I do other times. And they're speaking. So I think, man, just be open.
We got about 30 seconds here, and I just want to say this. I love in the interview where Josh was talking about he wasn't nervous when he got a chance to finally play because he told himself three times, he goes, God is in control, God is in control, God is in control. So he's like, I don't have any jitters, any doubt. I know he was with me. And I just want to say this, like, wow, what a comforting feeling it is when we really understand and know that he is with us.
Absolutely.
He is with us at all times. It's any moment, anxious moments, difficult moments. There's so much. There's for everyone out there listening, if you're going through whatever it is, if you just take a second and think, there's so much peace in knowing that God is with you. He's right there with you. When we come back, we're going to hear Philadelphia Eagles tight end Josh Perkins. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Remy and Pastor Kyle. I want to take a minute to thank all of our sponsors. We can't do this without your support, so please check them out on our sponsor page at faithonafieldshow.com and follow them on social media. They are great companies and even better people, so thank you to Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Store, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, California Closets, Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Swedesboro, Restelli Foods Group, Narstown Hospitality Center, Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, and Oliver Heating and Cooling. Our guest this week is Philadelphia Eagles tight end Josh Perkins. Josh was undrafted out of college. He signed with the Atlanta Falcons as a rookie free agent in 2016. He was actually on the team, caught a touchdown pass from Matt Ryan during Matt's MVP season, and played in the Super Bowl when the New England Patriots rallied from a 28-3 deficit to beat the Falcons. He got cut the following season, signed with the Eagles, and has been on and off the practice squad. He had an injury last year, but he was a big part of the team, as we mentioned earlier in December. He was nice enough to come out to my show at Center Square Tavern. Super nice guy. Here's that interview with Josh Perkins. Let's welcome Josh with a big hand.
Thanks for having me, man.
What has your experience been like, your journey to the NFL? You know, you can get drafted high and know that your money's guaranteed for a little bit and know that you have a roster spot guaranteed, but you had to go a different route. You were an undrafted rookie free agent with Atlanta and had a hook on that way. Each year, you basically going into the season knowing, like, I got to fight and earn my roster spot. How is that different than the other guys who maybe can come in and be a little bit more relaxed and be a little bit more like, all right, yeah, I don't want to say that you might be hungrier, but we look at it right now, and a lot of Eagles fans are like, man, I like seeing these young practice squad guys out there because they're playing for a paycheck, they're playing for next year, they're playing for their tape. Is there a little bit of that in your mentality?
Yes, sir. I think we always got to have a chip on your shoulder because, you know, I think as an undrafted player, you're just grateful for the opportunity more, you know. You're not guaranteed another day there, so each and every day you come in and work, put that chip on your shoulder and just go and grind.
How much more does it help you to be able to get those practice reps with the first team, with the second team, as opposed to on the other side as a practice squad and you guys are running a scout team?
I think it just gives you a lot more confidence, you know, to know you've ran these plays before, so you'll be in the right spot. You know what to expect when the ball's going to come versus a certain coverage, and I just think it allows you to play a lot faster.
You had a huge play against the Giants, four catches against the Giants to help set up that, five catches against the Giants to help set up that victory in overtime. What is it like for you guys who spent a lot of time on a practice squad, Josh, but, you know, you have to be ready when your number is called, and when you your number was called, you were able to step in there and step right in and make the plays. What was that like for you?
Oh, man, it was amazing, you know. We always talk about just taking advantage of the opportunities that we get. So when we finally got our opportunity to get in there and play, we were ready to go because we have been working so hard each day.
Now, a lot of people might not notice about you here, but you're not exactly like a rookie coming off the practice squad. You've been in the NFL for 4 years now. Josh went to you started your career with the Atlanta Falcons. You were there in 2016 and 2017, came to the Eagles last year. Week two, you also had a big week last year in Tampa against the Buccaneers. Nick Foles was, you were like turning into Nick Foles' go-to guy that game before you came here. But you were also part of the Atlanta Falcons, and you were on a roster for the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots. And I hate to do this to you so early in the show, but that was what I consider the greatest comeback in the history of sports. To be on the opposite end of that, man, what was it like to see that slipping away, knowing you were there, you almost got that ring?
Man, it was really tough, you know. I feel like right when I was thinking, like, dang, I'm going to get a Super Bowl my rookie year already. Strip sack, fumble, then it started going downhill from there. But, you know, being on that end of it, it was kind of disappointing. We really thought we were going to win that, but hopefully I get another one soon.
I want to get into a little bit of who you are off the field and who you are as a person, Josh, because as I told you before the show, I host a show called Faith on the Field, and it's also on 610 ESPN. It's actually on two nights. It's on a Thursday night, and it's on Sundays at 11. And I happen to notice, even though you're not on your social, on Twitter, in your bio, it says God first. What does that mean to you? Because you're on a football team that's got a lot of guys who are Christ-centered, and I firmly believe that's why they won the Super Bowl in 2017. So what does that mean to you to be able to say and put it out there and want people to know, hey, the first thing I'm reading about Josh Perkins is God first?
Well, for me, I just got to know where my help comes from. You know, I'm not doing this all by myself. Like, every time I go out there, I just know that he's with me. And I even, like I said, I had a previous interview. They asked me, was I nervous? Did I have any jitters when I went out there? But I didn't, because literally I told myself, I said it out loud three times, God is in control, God is in control. So I didn't have any jitters, any doubt. I knew he was with me. So that's the way I play.
Now, there's a lot of guys on this team who feel that way, who go to Bible studies together, and they do a lot of fellowship together. Have you been able to really get in community with them? You're in a tight end position group. Zach Ertz is really a strong leader, a strong man of faith. Are you able to share with the guys and really get into some Bible studies and some fellowship time like that with them?
Yeah, we always have the Bible study the day before the game, 6:30, so sometimes I go to that. And also me and Greg talk a lot about it as well. So even
Greg
after
too,
he,
huh?
Yeah, even after he scored his touchdown, I went up and talked to him. I said, God, what God has for you, nobody can take away. And we were just sitting there talking about that right after he scored, and I was just so happy for my guy.
You got a Bible verse that's a go-to for you? Is there one that's kind of special for you? Or?
Trusting the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, and always acknowledge him, and he would direct your paths.
That's Proverbs 3:5-6. I love that. I had to chat. I had to look up and check. Am I right? Proverbs 3:5-6, Pastor Carl? All right, man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways. Yes. I consider that one a Hall of Fame Bible verse. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, like, there's, you know, you put them in a hall. Proverbs 3:5-6, Romans 8:28, John 3:16, to me, are Hall of Famers. What does that Bible verse mean to you, to trust in the Lord with all your heart? Because it's tough to do that at times, especially in your situation.
Yeah, it definitely is. So, I mean, for me, it's just like he's directing my life. He's my purpose. He's my purpose for why I'm here. So just always remember that each and every day. You know, I'm not here for myself. I'm here to help other people. So if I can remember that each and every day, then that's what I'm trying to do, man.
How does your faith ground you, keep you really humble at times when things are going really well, when things are going your way, to make you know that, hey, like you said earlier, this isn't because of me. This is because of him. And I'm not here to glorify myself. I'm here to glorify him.
Exactly. It just makes me so thankful, you know, that he's giving me these opportunities because, like I said, not everybody has this opportunity to be here, to be placed on this pedestal. So when I finally be able to get on this platform, I want everybody to know that it's not because of me. It's because of him.
Well, Josh, we really appreciate you spending some time with us here.
That was Philadelphia Eagles tight end Josh Perkins. You're listening to Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Karen.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University. Rob Remy and Pastor Kyle. If you missed any of our episodes since we launched this show in 2017, you can just go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every episode that we've done and listen anytime at your convenience. You can choose by topics, or you can select by the guest that you want to hear. We've had Tony Dungy, Clayton Kershaw, Carson Wentz, Zach Ertz, Adam Wainwright, Trevor Story, Brian Dawkins, Doug Peterson, Evander Holyfield, LaDainian Tomlinson, and so many more awesome guests. We're also now on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes, so you can listen to us on your phones, in your cars, wherever. And please, take a minute to review and share with your friends. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram and follow us on Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list and get our weekly episode and blog delivered right there to your inbox. Also, make sure to follow us on our personal social media at Rob Motti, at Remy Motti, and at Kyle J. Horner. We'll let you know about speaking appearances and other events that we're doing. The Rob Motti Show at Center Square Tavern in Woolwich Township, New Jersey, is every Tuesday night, 6 to 8 p.m. Awesome food, great people, entertaining sports talk, prizes, giveaways. Hope to see you guys out there. I want to thank all of our listeners, all of our followers, all of our guests. A big thanks to our EVP of Business Operations, Doug Horton, for all his hard work. A huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for his excellent work on our website, podcast, blog, everything he does for us. Jim Henderson, thank you for the work behind the scenes. Thank you to Brett and Ryan for producing the show. Thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Karen University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.